Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is James Duthie. Do you remember what you were doing a year ago, JD? Were you at the studio, or did you get called in for the Babcock firing? How did you handle that?
Buddy, I have trouble remembering this morning. I don't know. I have no idea. Did we have a game that day? Does O remember?
Yeah, it was against Arizona.
Did we have a game that night?
I don't know if it was TSN or not, but it was they were playing Arizona.
It was an off day, though, I believe, Brian.
They had an off day.
They had a practice with them, and then they played against the Arizona Coyotes, and they won that game because they hadn't had a win in a little bit.
I think I was just home and saw the tweet or whatever it was, whether it was Dregs or Bob or the Leafs announcing it. And, it's been a year. I'm trying to decide if I'm surprised if he's not coaching again yet. I think in the wake of what happened after and what the time was with all, that was a time for all these stories about coaches abusing players, and Babcock sort of semi got caught up in that, not to the extent of Bill Peters or anything, but there was a belief he wouldn't coach for a while, and then a few months go by and his name popped up a couple of times, and in some ways I thought maybe he would have resurfaced by now, but of course these are weird times when we didn't have a complete season, and I still think probably within, if we're having this conversation next year, I bet that Mike Babcock is coaching again in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I would take that bet as well. I think he's probably not going to show up in an abbreviated year with travel being what it is and COVID still lurking, but by the time things settle next October, next November, and we get back on track with a conventional NHL schedule, I would not be shocked at all. Mm-hmm. And by then, he would have picked up about two more years of pay from the Maple Leafs, and he'd probably be willing to give up a little bit to get behind the bench, because if you stay out too long, you will be forgotten.
Right.
And on Sheldon, at some point, you got to get back in.
I just heard the last 90 seconds of you guys before. My dogs were barking and fighting feverishly in the background, but it's such an incomplete grade, right? You remember those incomplete grades in school, and I think that's all you can give them. Maybe a C for the first year. They certainly had a great start, but in the end, it was kind of the same outcome, if not more frustrating, the way it ended against Columbus. And so I just think an incomplete report card.
With James Duthie. So Sheldon Keefe, when he was speaking with Masters, Mark brought up the fact that Joe Thornton is signed and the fact that Thornton will be available to him behind a bench, and mm-hmm. kind of asked him, how do you see him being utilized? Is he going to be a third-line center? And Keefe said, you're going to have to stay tuned on that. But he went on to say that Thornton is a very versatile guy that we think can play anywhere in our lineup depending on what we need or what's happening. That's got to be selective. I mean, I cannot see him playing top 6 minutes night in, night out. Like, something
no
went
chance.
Wrong if that's the case.
I think that's just a coach, saying nice things about a player that's coming in, don't you think? I guess he could take some shifts on the top line and certainly, power play minutes and things like that. And sure, give him a couple, give him some time with give him a couple of shifts with Nylander, Marner, whatever that may be, but there's no chance he's playing regular top 6 minutes on the Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't think. He hasn't been on the San Jose Sharks, I don't think, last year.
No, he hasn't been, no.
No. So that's just probably a coach saying nice things about a player who's, I believe, 1 year older than the coach.
We were talking earlier, James, and Brian brought up the point with the Raptors going down to Tampa with the NHL. If they form the Canadian division, and what did you say, Brian, after the second round of the playoffs, someone's going to have to go across the border or figure this out somehow. We're wondering what was your scenario, Brian?
Well, if it ends up being exclusively an all-Canadian division and an all-Canadian schedule, and then four of the seven teams make it, one plays four, two plays three, someone's going to the conference final and they're playing an American team. So there has to be crossover at some point, whether that's late May, early June. It's going to happen because someone is quite literally going to be there if that's the scenario. A Canadian team will be in the conference final.
I think that, look, again, this is the NHL, though they have to plan, are in the same position as the rest of us where they really have no idea where we're going to be in April, May, or whatever that may be. So my guess would be that, under their prognostication, is that by, if the playoffs are to start, let's say, if July 15th is the end of the Stanley Cup final, backtrack that 2 months, and maybe the playoffs are shorter, who knows. So let's say it's May 15th or 20th that the playoffs start, that their best hope at this point is if those divisions stay intact the entire year and it's a Canadian division for the entire season, which I'm not sure is a guarantee either, but if that's the way it is, that their hope is that by that point we are far enough along as far as vaccines getting out to the population that people can cross the border, that borders are open by then, at least in some limited form, and that teams can travel. That would be my only, because there is no other solution for that. So that would be their hope, is that here we are now, this is going to be awful for a few months, but by the time we get to the end of this season, if everything goes well, that can happen and teams can travel and have playoffs. So, I mean, I don't know what their plan B would be, frankly. And that's, I think, probably terrifies them as much as it leaves us in the dark.
With James Duthie. So you are back safe and sound from Augusta National. You were down there last week.
Creeping
around. Going down there for years. Yeah, how would you compare the 2020 Masters to every other one you've been to?
Well, okay, I'll give you two answers. I like everybody else. It just, it was missing something because of the crowds and no roars and all of that. And I think part of it was DJ, too. I really would have liked to see it. If we could have taken, let's say, the 2019 Masters with Tiger and put it into 2020, how much less would it still be as impactful? Or, how much of it was DJ completely destroying the field on Sunday that took away from it, and how much of it was the no patrons? I don't think we'll ever have the answer to that. Selfishly, the single greatest golf tournament I will ever attend, ever, because the access was just unbelievable. I said, Thursday, Puffy and I followed Tiger for 9 holes. The gallery was Tiger's girlfriend, Peyton Manning, and Puffy and I. That was the gallery at the Masters for Tiger.
Okay, I got to ask you, your knowledge of television, some of the picks that were taken, and you and Puffy on the shot, you say to Puffy, if we stand right here...
I know the
angles.
The knowledge of television. The shot that the Mahler, as I like to call him, took off his screen... the grappler took was
the Mahler.
He's forever the Mahler to me. We were walking up that side, and I think Puffy said to me, "Stop right here. This is directly on line with DJ's putt, and there is a camera right behind." And I said, "You're darn right, Puffy. Let's flex." And that was funny because there was nobody else there. But we didn't really try that hard. It would be really embarrassing, and it was at a point. I said, "Puffy, we are on, like, we work in television. We can't be trying to get on TV." Although I was trying to get Puffy to do stupid things.
I was going to say, it would have been awful if you tried to trip him and then he tripped you and you had a whole Dumb and Dumber routine.
I know, we could have done something that probably would have gone viral, but it probably would have gotten me fired. But no word of a lie, like, it was quite surreal. On when DJ teed off on 17 on Sunday, about to win the Masters, Puffy and I had to step back because our shadows were over his ball. Now, he didn't have to ask. It wasn't something that happened on television. We saw right away, and we have enough etiquette to realize. But that's how crazy close you could get the entire time. And it was just, that's an experience I'll never have before, because I think I've told you guys before, the Masters is really hard to cover on the golf course. And most of the time I come home and people say, "Hey, where were you when... all those guys dunked it on 12, and I was watching on TV like you, because that's the only way I can cover the tournament and do an hour post-game show afterwards." But in this case, this was the first time I walked the back nine with the leader on Sunday right up to 18 and saw a lot of really cool things. I spent some time, the best place, 15 and 16 is where people will go and try and get in the bleachers there. But one of the coolest places is you can stand in one spot and see 2 green, turn left, see 7 green, have 3 tee right in front of you, and if you turn around, see 8 tee. So that's probably one of the greatest spots on the golf course. And so I stood for about an hour at 3T and happened to be there when Bryson had his complete meltdown. And that was something to behold. First of all, to watch him hit and to watch the other guys react. Patrick Reed, Tony Finau, and Paul Casey were the next group. And when they were talking about Bryson the entire time, and then Bryson comes whipping back on the golf cart, not finding his ball, and it's just the, you know, the exchange. Bryson goes, "Sorry, guys," and Reed's like, "No, you're okay," and Bryson's like, "It was a good shot, still lost the ball." He's so mad, but I've said this to a few people. The thing that really struck me was I think they all appreciate, and Dillette said this, they really appreciate, you know, what he does, even though there's, you know, he's not the most popular guy on tour. But I think there is some eye rolling at the production of his tee shots.
Yeah.
He breathes so loud. You can't pick this up on TV. You pick up his movement. But he is, I'll try to do my best imitation. I compare it to a power lifter at the Olympics. That's what he's doing. And you can sort of, you know, I watched, you know, Reed and these guys. Reed is not exactly Mr. Popular himself, as you guys know. But, you know, between them and the caddies, when he took back off, you can just tell it's like this guy puts on a little too much of a show.
Well, right. what was the chatter like in terms of the expectation for April? Do they think fans will be there again and back to normal?
I mean, I think they're hopeful, but it's like, you know, every conversation we have is the same thing. Nobody knows. Right. I think they're all hoping that this is the only one like that. That it was, like I said, personally, it was really neat. And I thought the golf course, I know it didn't look, people were saying on TV, quite as nice. It was a little shaggier on some of the slopes and such. But to have no grandstands there, to me, I love Augusta National. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to in the world. But when there's no people there, it's even more beautiful, right? It's nothing but green grass everywhere. And so it was a really cool experience. I'd be fine if there were no fans again in April, but that's completely me being selfish. I think it would be better for the game if they were back in some capacity.
Yep, let's hope that happens. I'd be surprised if it didn't. I mean, they can basically make their call as long as the state is cool with it. It's all up to Augusta. I mean, they make up their own rules. They can do whatever they want.
I cannot tell you how exclusive it was, though. I didn't know that Peyton Manning was a member. That's why he was there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Peyton's a member, and because Paulina was there the entire time. By the way, I had just the most embarrassing conversation with Paulina. I just happened to walk right by her, and so I had to say, "Hey, Paulina." She goes, "Hi." And I'm like, "Oh, it's James from TSN.
Ah! Do you know where the gym is?
And she goes, "No." She goes, "Oh, hi." And I go, "Okay." And I just kept going. I had
big
nothing
gulps.
Else to say.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in grade 7 again. And it just got, like, rejected at the dance. And it wasn't, she was completely polite and nice to me.
I know, but Jimmy, even if you said, like, "I know your dad," she would have been like, "Great, so I don't care."
So lame. Yeah, if I say that, "Hey, I'm on TSN, I've interviewed your father sometimes," what's she going to say?
Nothing. She'd be like, "Yeah, good for you.
Good, have a nice day." Anyway, the point I was trying to make was, like, Wayne couldn't even come on the golf course, which is amazing to me. Basically, I think everybody was allowed just their spouse and their coach, and that was it. And so it was probably one of the most exclusive tickets in the history of sport. There were a few extra people there, particularly on Sunday, and they were either members or they were just filthy, like they just had the look of the filthy rich, right? You had to be a CEO of somebody who knew, you know, one of the guys in the green jackets, one of the members, because there weren't many, but there were a few there, and so it was neat. But I hope the patrons come back.
All right, buddy, we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys, take it easy.
There he is, James Duffy from TSN, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in person or online at mapletoyota.com. Make the switch, drive a hybrid. I didn't know Peyton was a member there. I thought I read that Roger Goodell was sniffing around down there. I think Goodell's got an invite. Rob Manfred, maybe. The commissioners, basically. If you're a commissioner, you're at that level, you get the invite. But I think the way it works at Augusta is you can't like call up and say, I want to join. They basically send you an invitation out of the blue. You don't know what's coming. And it's like a one-time option. You either accept.
There's connections involved. Like, there's got to be. It's not just like somebody is really connected with Peyton Manning and they said, we really think that this guy would be a great member. Like, there's. It's not like, how come Joe Blow, who owns a tire company in Tennessee, isn't a member? Because he's not Peyton Manning.
No, exactly. It's a very limited view. And again, the way I read it, and I don't even know if it's true because it's like a secret society, is you get the letter, you have to accept it. If you say, nah, I'd like to push to next year, you're scratched off the list.
Yeah, like, and it's only like $40,000 to join.
It's not that much. But you can only play like a few times a year. Like, that's another thing. I guess they'll send letters. If you think you're going in there like every week to play, they'll basically pull you aside and be like, you need to relax. Yeah, you're playing here way too much. That's not the way we operate. You can fly in a handful of times and play, but that's about it. And if you have that much money and it's like $50,000 a year, you're going to do it if you love golf. I think Adele was sniffing around. There have been a few big shooters just kicking around, but Gretzky can't even get on the course.
Yeah, if Gretzky's not getting on, no one's getting on.
Yeah, if 99 gets the Heisman before walking on to Augusta National, that is telling you something.